increasing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone, and we are here at the Thoroughbred Center with the Clocker Stand, and we're trying to get our levels adjusted here as we speak. And anyway, very quiet morning.
I just had an apple and a piece of cheese, so my levels are fine.
Okay, I wouldn't talk about those levels.
Oh, those though, okay. Yeah.
I'm talking about our microphone levels. Everything look all right, Ressie?
Yes.
Okay, well, Ressie would know, I guess.
It looks good on
the
screen.
Everything look all right down there, Mary Jane?
Looks good on the screen.
Looks good on the screen. All righty, well, just had, what, 8 workers so far this morning?
Yep.
Yeah, track's muddy. Pretty good shape, though, but we had, everybody knew this was coming. And, of course, we had that torrential rain on Tuesday. I didn't even bother to come to the Clocker Stand. They said, the outrider said we had 3 horses on the track all morning.
Well, the roads were flooded all around us, so that's another consideration.
Yeah, but I had my canoe, so yeah, I was going to make it. Anyway.
They took his outboard away. He was too dangerous for that motor.
But the next morning, Wednesday morning, I thought the track was going to be sloppy. By golly, it was good. I labeled it good.
Yeah, and Harold's a genius.
We had a few workers, maybe 15 that morning, and because, you know, a lot of people don't work, don't breeze their horses after they've had a day off, you know. And then the roof fell in Thursday and Friday. I think we had about 90 workers on those 2 days, between 90 and 100.
Yeah.
And they knew this rain was coming, so everybody just took it easy this morning. And I sit here with our medic, Anthony over here, and we just shot the bull, tried to stay awake.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, he's got the comfortable chair. I guess he, I don't know, did he stay awake? Did you stay awake over there? He said yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, well, what are we going to do today? Well, Dick Lawson, bloodstock agent, old-time, long-time friend of mine, and he's supposed to come in at 11 o'clock. I forgot to get, he left here the other morning, I was going to get his cell number, but to remind him to show up.
Here comes Doc.
Yeah, good. But anyway, he's like me. He's liable to forget and not show up. But, well, anyway, Dick will come in. I remember him, his dad had a real good horse, and I'm trying to think of that horse's name, but started with an S. It might be Stalwart, but I don't think it was Stalwart. I think it was something like that. Well, anyway, I'll find out when he gets here. It's going to bug me now. I'll wake up in the middle of the night when
no, you won't. You do, and you won't appreciate it.
Dr. Doug Byers has made the scene, so he'll be on with our morning vet segment. Michael Blowen is at Keeneland. He's taking the horse ball 4 out there this morning. We're going to give him a call somewhere in a few minutes. The old Yankee pitcher, baseball pitcher, Bill Bowden wrote that book. And he's out there with the horse, and I think he's having a book signing. And the book,
yes,
yeah. So,
well, not only that, I talked to Michael. Was it day before yesterday, maybe? And they were going to go to a Legends game. He was going to watch the Legends play and have a book signing there.
Oh.
So how fun is that? Michael's, you know, right? That's a lot of fun. That's very good.
Here comes Doc shivering like it's cold or something outside. Sit down, Doc.
Hey.
Let's see what.
Fine. I'm cold.
We're going to call Steve Moody, and he'll give us the winner of the Bluegrass Stakes. Of course, Steve, author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. And as soon as they run the Bluegrass Stakes out there today, I'm going to take a look at some of the old, well, I'm going to feature one of the old Bluegrass Stakes winners. That would be Chattergay. And I picked him out because his full sister's got a, they're running the Primonetta Stakes up in Maryland today. And that's his full sister. And I thought, well, he won the Bluegrass and went on and won a Derby, and his full sister's honored with the stakes race today, and
that's
great. I think I'll talk about him. Some of the other winners too.
And I think that the weather's going to get better.
You all right? Notes back and forth to each other. Something I should know.
No, you have to call me.
And let's see, we got Jackie's announcements, of course. And Doc, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine.
Well,
we're here without Michael. He's over the track.
Yeah, I knew.
So we'll all take advantage of that.
Yeah, let's talk about it, Ben. What time is that when they do that at the paddock?
I don't know.
I think it's like 8:45 for an hour or so, something like that. I can't remember.
Well, that would be all over with now. But
yeah, I was trying to figure when we could try to call him.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he doesn't have hold of the shank, I wouldn't think.
Nobody's in charge of whoever's holding the shank.
Oh, well, you can be in charge and still talk on the phone.
I guess. Okay.
Wouldn't you think?
Michael can't walk without talking, so we know he'll have a phone somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
All righty. Well, I guess we'll get rolling. Oh, I forgot this. Let's see. We've had 14 winners this month from the Thoroughbred Center, and since we talked last, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that was since last Saturday. Let's see. Wayne Mackey won one out of Keeneland with ins and outs. It was on Sunday. Amalio Garcia won one at the Mountaineer with Leyline Force and brought me donuts.
Nice.
Wayne Mackey didn't bring me any. Bobby Sturgeon won with down at Mountaineer. Mark Hubley won with Could. And Ted Lucas won one last night at Mountaineer with Moonshine Boy. I wonder if he knows something about that.
I don't know.
After somebody in his family or something like that.
I don't know. Stuff will eat your innards. I know that.
Yeah, it surely will. And let's see what else is going on. Doc, do you want to start in, or I'm going to have to interrupt you here in about 2 minutes?
Why don't you go ahead and do that, and then you won't have to interrupt him.
Okay.
That's that instructor.
Somebody's got to, well, somebody's I take lessons from his wife.
Somebody's got to run the show. And between Ressie and Jackie, they get it done. Mary Jane down at the studio. Well, Arch is the sire of 4 champions and 6 grade 1 stakes winners. He's the sire of Blame. Winner of the Eclipse Award as champion older horse in 2010. And he ranked number 1 in North America by the International Federation of Horse Racing Authorities. Now, Blame defeated Zenyatta in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. He beat Quality Road, Musket Man, Haynesfield, and Mind That Bird in the Grade 1 Whitney. He whipped Battle Plan, General Quarters, Giant Oak, in the Grade 1 Stephen Foster. Won the Grade 2 Clark, won the Grade 2 Fayette at Keeneland, won the Grade 2 William Donald Schaefer, won the Curlin Stakes. And he earned $4,368,214. Now, Arch is also side of the winners of the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks, the Grade 1 E.P. Taylor, the Grade 1 Alabama, the Grade 1 Gazelle, the Group 1 Dolly Gold Cup, the Group 1 Golden Jubilee, the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Breeders' Cup Handicap. Side of the winners of major stakes from coast to coast and in 6 different countries. A Grade 1 stakes winner himself, Arch, is a major source of classic stamina. And he stands at Claiborne Farm for $30,000. Due when the foal stands and nurses. Of course, that's also where Blame is standing. He's standing his first season instead for $35,000. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibonfarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, seeking a goal, one of the best sons of Sire's Mr. Prospector was the sire of over 90 stakes winners. One of his best sons is Bob and John, a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $996,000. Bob and John won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial, a race long noted as a measuring stick for future sire success. Past winners of the Wood, including the likes of Tappet, Empire Maker, Unbridled Song, Gulch, Broadbrush, Seattle Slough, and we can go on. As a matter of fact, Bob and John come from the same female family as Wood Memorial winner and leading sire Broadbrush. Bob and John was a superior graded stakes performer at 2, 3, and 4 every year he raced. His dam, graded stakes winner and grade 1 place Minister's Melody, is her daughter, two-time champion sire and sire of sire's deputy minister. And this is the family founded by Broodmare of the Year and a multiple stakes winner, Two Ball, while she was a flat runner. The first foals by Bob and John, and the numbers favor his favor. Let me try that one again. And the numbers favor his success. Well, I still can't get it out. You got a lot of two-year-olds going farm next year.
There you go.
How about that? Well, they're going to race this. They're going farm this year. He even screwed that up. And he stands for $8,000 live foal at Pin Oak Stud, home also of Broken Vow, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. Inquires to Clifford Berry and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
I happen to be a Spanish rider, I know, a Mexican rider.
Concepcion?
Yes.
He rides for Emilio Follan.
Yeah, he's a very nice guy.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Is that his wife that cooks those cakes?
No, it's just somebody he knows.
Boy, I tell you what.
Ooh, you have never lived till you have had a Mexican birthday cake.
I tell you what, they're just melting. It's like they float.
The birthday cakes we're used to are very sugary. They're all sugar-based. Yeah. Even this icing, these are based on whipped cream. Oh, my word. And they have fruit in between the layers with more whipped cream. Ooh, you don't have to worry about them melting, though, because you eat them real quick.
Yeah.
Wonderful cake.
Well, Doc, what's going on this morning, my friend?
Well, not too much. I thought, you know, a couple of weeks ago we kind of gave a bulletin from the diagnostic lab on those oral ulcers that horses were getting in their mouths. And they still haven't figured that out, but the numbers are getting less.
Before we go on, let me ask you something. What about this thing that Uncle Mo was supposed to have had?
Hey.
Well, that's pretty nondescript, and I probably wouldn't go into too much of that detail. Just kind of see it. But, you know, he's not out of the Derby picture. He just got a...
No, they tracked him the next day, I think.
Yeah.
So it could have been too much.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was just curious.
Yeah, we put together a veterinary team and looked at him. And so...
Oh, you were in on that?
Not very well, kind of, yeah.
I asked the wrong guy then, didn't I? I just thought I'd get an...
You thought you were going to get a second opinion.
Yeah, right. first opinion.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
We won't really go there, but he got a number of good people. He's had good people, obviously, looking after him. So,
sure.
We're not going to say that he's not going to make it. So we'll just leave it at that.
All right.
That might have been
a little bit touchy subject over here.
And the rest of it's none of your business.
Exactly. I had no idea you were in on that, Doc. But okay, go ahead. We'll drop it right here.
We'll talk about, I was mentioning about oral ulcers and somehow jumped over to Uncle Mo. He does not have oral ulcers.
Oh, good. I'm good.
Okay.
Although you might get one now.
Another bulletin that's out is we've got another herpes situation.
Is that what it is?
No.
Oh, Jackie. Oh.
We got a herpes situation in New Jersey. The horse isn't even in New Jersey. So, we talk about things that affect the racetrack, and so we've got...
I didn't mean Uncle Mo.
Oh.
I meant you were talking last week or a week before about the mouth
oral ulcers. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I said we still don't know what that is.
Oh, okay.
So now I'm just giving you a new bulletin.
Oh, okay.
A new bulletin.
Have we screwed you up enough this morning?
Is this what happens in your household? It happens in mine.
I'm afraid I was a part of it this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Anyway. Going back to
where was I?
Once in a while, I'll look
the horse
on
died, Doc.
I'll look on the internet and I'll see something that's out there that's happening. So now there's a little bit of a concern about a herpes outbreak, the neurological form in New Jersey, and of course that is a highly infectious thing, but it doesn't travel very far. In other words, almost direct contact disease or humans carrying it over. So it's relatively easy to contain. And it's a virus. We've talked about that before. So they'll quarantine any affected barn and usually wait a period of time. They'll give them 30 days of precaution, but, the incubation period on that is anywhere from 3 to 9 days with an average of 6. So if there's no new cases in 2 weeks within that premises, mm-hmm. then we're not transferring or having active insults anymore.
Where is it? Racetrack or where?
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know. It just said New Jersey. Outbreak of
Monty's. They're not running there now. I mean, Mammoth Park's not open yet.
Well, it could be a
trotting horse track.
Could be a riding stable.
Well,
you don't know.
Yeah, okay.
So just.
Well, if you don't know, I don't know.
Where's Fairhill?
Fairhill, that's
Virginia.
Virginia.
Yeah,
Virginia. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm just thinking of places.
So anyway, it's a radar thing that goes up whenever you come across that, and. Kind of like talking about strangles or something else. It's a terrible thing to talk about, but it's not the end of the day. It's relatively controllable. And they'll quarantine those horses, watch them pretty good. Most of them will come around and do all right. Majority of them, or the minority of them, might go down. If they go down neurologically, then they're pretty much in trouble.
Yeah, what are the symptoms?
Well, the symptoms can vary to little to nothing. In other words, you got one horse that's showing neurological signs, and you got another one that's got a fever and not showing neurological signs. So they can be relatively asymptomatic, still be the same bug, and they put a swab up their nose and they do a PCR check for the herpes virus. And remember, this is a virus that's around all the time. And it's a herpes type 1, but it becomes a mutant, a subtype. And they can check for that subtype with the PCR and identify it. And where that is, it's almost like you get herpes sores on your lips and things like that. Some carrier may get stressed, and it's called latent infection. Mm-hmm. And it mutates to this subtype and then becomes neurologically potent, where it's attracted to the nervous tissue. So some of the more subtle signs that you would say is, okay, I've got a horse with a watery nasal discharge, low-grade fever, looks like it wants to dribble some urine. That's a common sign. You check the tail tone, and you feel like the tail doesn't have a lot of resistance. And usually those horses that you have that with, you don't treat them. There are antiviral drugs you can use. But they're beginning to have those symptoms go away in about 10 days, 2 weeks, and they get all right. Now, the ones that do go down, their symptoms are going to stay for longer, and some of them will actually be permanent if they go down and they're down for a long period of time. But they can be subject to being euthanized as well if they can't get up. Put them in a sling and help them that way, buy them time. And again, if they come around, they'll come around usually about 10 days, 2 weeks, start to show some significant improvement. You check
them
back.
Takes that long, huh?
Yeah. Check them back in about 30 days, and a lot of them you can't find anything wrong with them at all. They're back going into light training and starting over. But it's something we call it a latent infection, just like with the mares that are all vaccinated for abortion with herpes, and you still can get an abortion, and you've got a group of mares and it's all closed, no traffic going in and out, and they'll start to foal or they'll slip a foal here or there, and you say, well, how did they pick this up? Well, one of those mares may be a latent carrier where she just got some stress and then that virus got active in her. Now, that one, the spread of it is also the same way. It's almost by direct contact. Those mares need to go up to the aborted fetus or the membranes and sniff on it, and then they can pick it up. Generally speaking, that's what. But our vaccines work very well. We don't have a vaccine against the herpes type 1 for the neurological. We don't have that, so we can't block that. Our abortion, herpes. The vaccines are very good. They're not perfect, but we don't have abortion storms like 40, 50 years ago where 30, 40% of those mares would abort.
Yeah.
So we may just have a two or three out of a large group. So, but it still can happen. So that just gives you an appreciation for the bugs that are out there all the time.
What do you treat it with?
For the herpes, there are a couple of different antiviral drugs. That acyclovir is one. Valacyclovir is another. The valacyclovir is considered superior because it's better absorbed, costs more. The acyclovir has been used in them, but they're antiviral. And again, if you've got a down horse, it's unlikely you're going to change much. What you might say is, okay, we're going to put everything in the barn on acyclovir or valacyclovir as a preventative to block those other ones from picking it up.
Yeah.
If they're in a barn, it's a closed environment. Racetrack barns are not typically a barn that would spread it very much because the horses have their own stall, put their head in one area, and they don't make nose to nose, but the people go. The buckets, the water, things like that are where things spread. And that's pretty true almost of strangles as well. So that's another respiratory thing that can become.
When's the last time we had an outbreak of it around here? Do you remember?
Churchill Downs had an outbreak about 8 years ago.
Okay.
And then, of course, we had that big Wellington, Florida outbreak.
Yeah.
6 years ago with the dressage horses.
Yeah.
And that was mostly several cases. Several horses did die. But it was a panic scenario. The public was misinformed, and the media got things misinformed.
No.
Yeah. And so basically they predicted death for almost every horse.
I remember
in
that.
The area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was really if that were true, we'd wiped out the equine species a long time ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, that thing settled down and everybody was happy, but again, they had to but when nothing new came up for over a couple of weeks, you kind of knew it was all behind you, and then when the quarantine cleared in about 30 days, then you were good to go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I remember that.
Very good.
Yeah. So the New Jersey thing, we don't know what it is. The main thing is if they picked it up, and again, usually it's a horse that's starting to look neurological. But if it happens to have a fever, then that becomes the highest on the list. And if they find it, and they quarantine it right away. So.
How's this year's foal crop looking? Pretty average, as far as.
Well, we're still going through the nocardias, and a lot of factors there, and I think UK is doing some research on it, trying to figure out that bug. So we have a good foal crop. Some of the nocardias, again, if we want to go back to the neurological system, some of those foals would be just almost like a fescue foal. They'll be small.
Yeah.
Or dismature, which just means that they aren't developed properly. And some of them get up and never look back, and they may just be small of stature. Some of those that are small of stature will begin to catch up and grow. Others just seem to have retarded growth. We do not have growth hormone, except illicitly, in this country to see how we can do with those foals. I work with growth hormone, a company out of Australia provided, and that was a genetically engineered specifically for horses. The company was called Bressogen, but we can't get that anymore. The federales blocked that. And we didn't see a whole lot of benefit when we gave those smallish foals growth hormone, but there's some studies in people that showed that originally, when growth hormone was used in small-statured children, that there wasn't a whole lot of response. But then they adjusted dosages and And other thing, they showed that a significant percentage, 60% of those children would start to grow. So and reach normal stature.
Wow.
So yeah. It's something that needs to be fooled around with. There's a doctor, I believe his name is Potter at Texas A&M, that has done some full studies with growth hormone. So NoCardia would be a perfect example. You say, well, okay, here's something that's a little bit smaller. She's born at 65 pounds and it's colt. Needs to grow up and be a racehorse. So if we can do something like that, that would be a big benefit. Other than that, the foal crop is looking all right. I've seen a lot of foals that have some complications, not just NoCardia, but anything. You know, it's common that you'll see foals that'll be 2 days old or so and have had a seizure or some neurological problem, and they do that just like children do. And those you treat with anticonvulsants, and they usually come along and do fine. So they're really intimidating to look at a foal laying on the ground just paddling like crazy with his head pushed way back and his mouth wide open in a grimace, and you say, well, this is no good. We need to call it a day, and that's not the case. You just give them some Valium or even go to Phenobarb for a day or two and maintain them, and they'll be up and
very good.
Highest percentage will heal and do well.
Yeah. All right, Doc. Well,
okay.
Wait a minute. Sit still. I want to ask you about something just a second here. As soon as I finish this commercial.
Okay.
Right. First Defense gave early notice that he was a runner, breaking his maiden as a 2-year-old over 8 lengths at Belmont Park. At 3, he won around 2 turns to take the Long Branch Breeders' Cup Stakes at Monmouth. Sprinted 7 furlongs in an eye-popping 1:20.4. That was at Belmont. Ran a dead game second to Hardspun in the Grade 1 King's Bishop at Saratoga. The next year, he sprinted 7 furlongs in 1:21.2 to win the Grade 1 Forego Stakes at Saratoga by nearly 7. Ran 6 furlongs in 1:09.2 to take Belmont's Grade 3 Jiper Stakes on the grass. And he finished second in the Grade 2 Vanderbilt at Saratoga. First Defense displayed brilliant speed, Grade 1 speed, and he has a great sire pedigree. He's by the highly successful Unbridled Song, his dam by Seattle Slough, won Grade 1 stakes, earned over $894,000, and she's a half-sister to 2 successful sires, Empire Maker and Chester House, both sires of multiple Grade 1 stakes winners. This is, of course, the family of Grade 1 stakes winning broodmare of the year, Troussade. First foals by First Defense are yearlings. Stands for 7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. And see the website at judmontfarm.com. Now, what I wanted to ask you, I was talking to Carl Lumley yesterday, day before.
Yeah.
He says y'all were moving in.
I'm moving in. Susan kind of dragging her feet, and I'm saying I'm going to sleep down there my first night tonight. And I'm on a mission.
You mean she's kicked you out of the house?
Well, just about. That's what it is. But no, Carl got that house done and as expeditiously as you could get it done because some of the vendors held things up. But we got it cleared, and the inspector came by and praised it. There was only one thing that he wouldn't pass the inspection initially. He wanted an additional handrail coming down from the upstairs.
Well, he knew how old you were, Doc.
Yeah, right. No, I would have had one of those lifts.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, he praised the house as one of the better ones he's seen. Best construction job in Scott County. And so we're good to go.
Well, I was really impressed when, and they had a long way to go when I was in there, you know.
We got to get the fridge filled with beer.
Well, I'll bring a six pack.
All right. Okay. That'll work every time. So let's get a little bit better weather, and we'll capitalize on that.
Well, he told me that the inspector was really liked the house.
Yeah.
He was really pleased.
Yeah.
And so if you're thinking about building a house, I've got the guy for you. He's got great references now. He's got Dr. Byers here. This is a guy named Carl Lumley. He's a pretty near neighbor of mine. Lives over on Hume Bedford, right around the corner from me there. And he's been in business for about 10 years now. And in addition to Dr. Doug Byers, he's done works over at Brookdale for the Seitz family, and Denali Studd, another neighbor of ours, and Sarah Hamilton, another neighbor of ours. So he's pretty near fix up the whole damn neighborhood over around me.
Right. He does everything. The houses aren't his limitation, you know, his barns and anything you need.
Yeah, sure. Run-in sheds, barns. They build a deck for you.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah.
If you want an outhouse, you know, you do everything but pave the path.
Well, my outhouse is I'm out of the house.
Did you sleep over there last night?
No, I'm going to do it tonight, though.
Oh, that's exciting.
And she's mad as a hornet, I think. So.
Is she?
Susan's saying, well, he's just a hardhead.
Well, anyway, he's a very impressive guy, and he'll give you his bid and stick with it.
Yeah.
He's not one of these guys that will come in and give you a low bid and then get two-thirds of the way through building the house, say, I got to have more money, I can't finish it. No, he sticks with the bid.
He studies those bids. He really works hard to get those numbers to come in the where they need to be.
The only thing I question, he says he's from Ireland, he doesn't have an accent. I just wondered how he got... I was talking to his wife yesterday, though, and she doesn't have one, so...
Well, if he's from Ireland, he has a right to lie anyway.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's Carl Lumley. And let me give you his phone number. It's an 859 number, 333-7914. And his email address is Lumley, L-U-M-L-E-Y, Enterprises, @yahoo.com. And you can always call me over in Bourbon County, and I'll get you in touch with him. Okay, Carl Lumley. All right. Doc, thank you. Your phone's ringing.
Nope, not mine.
No, that's the girls. We have unexpected guests.
Well, good. Well, Tiz now has sired 16 grade 1 performers, including Morning Line, winner last Saturday to the grade 1 Carter Handicap at Aqueduct. One of the 16 is Tiz Deja Vu, who is standing his first season at stud. Now, Tiz Deja Vu, placed in the grade 1 secretary at stakes at Arlington Park, scene of his victory in the grade 3 American Derby as a 3-year-old. Tiz Deja Vu also won 6 times at Churchill Downs, track where he was virtually unbeatable, taking the Grade 2 Firecracker, the Grade 2 Jefferson Cup, the Grade 3 American Turf Stakes, the opening verse stakes, and 2 allowance tests. He won more graded stakes than any other son of Tiz now at stud. He won 8 of his 16 starts and was in the money 13 times and earned nearly $700,000. A beautiful, long striding colt with a catch-me-if-you-can style of running. Tiz Deja Vu is standing his first season for $5,000, doing a full stanza nurses, and breeding incentives might be available. Give Pope McLean a call over at Crestwood Farm, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. And Lisa Murray, boy, all kinds of rescue folks. Well,
that's right.
So he's here today. What are we doing today?
Trying to keep warm.
Yeah. Trying to keep warm. What are you going to do when winter comes?
Move to Florida.
No, you're not.
Open a new location.
Yeah. All righty. Well, what's going on, girls?
We're here to talk about the open house at the Central Kentucky Tack and Leather today that benefits new vocations and the Kentucky Equine Humane Center.
Okay. Central Kentucky Tack and Leather is right up here at the Thoroughbred Center. You just turn on to Johnson Road and take a first right off of Paris Pike, and you see it just to the left of the big white building. Can't miss it. Yeah,
lots of good things happening there.
Oh, okay. I'm supposed to read this?
Yeah.
Read?
There's raffles. There's raffles all day with, like, really, really nice prizes.
Well, here you all read it.
Okay. And Mr.
Clipper... Lisa's the one with the English accent, by the way.
Mr. Clipper will be there, sharpening while you wait.
Oh, Mr. Clipper?
Apparently.
So if you want to get a haircut, you are.
I can do that.
Okay. Well, Jackie cuts mine, because that's easy, you know. So all she needs is a pair of clippers. And
then
a buffer to shine it on top. Go ahead, girls. I'm sorry to
interrupt.
They're
going to have free tack repair, so if you have any items that need repairing,
Jackie,
you can bring them in.
We need free tack repair.
And the proceeds, you make a donation to either the New Vocations or the Kentucky Equine Humane Center.
Okay.
So that's a great deal. It benefits us and helps us.
Is that today now?
It's today. Going right now from 10 till 2. And then they've got door prizes. There's big gift baskets. And there is even free pony rides.
Oh, can I have a pony ride?
I'll lead you around.
Thank you.
Hey, Jackie.
Get up.
Why don't you come over here and talk to these girls? I'm going to make this a girly show.
Girly show. That's good.
Oh, okay. And there's also, there's buckets of samples and...
Buckets.
Yeah, buckets.
Bouquets.
Oh, bouquets. No, bouquets.
Jeez. Bouquets. I need an interpreter here. Hang on a second.
Oh, and there's free hot dogs and drinks, too.
Oh, my God. Run on over there or so and get a couple. What kind of drinks?
I don't think
you said there was some turnout so far.
There's quite a few people over there.
It was really full, mm-hmm. especially considering the weather.
Yeah, mm-hmm. as the weather stinks. Well, that's great. Well, what else is there?
There's they're giving away those Redmond Rock mineral blocks, free product samples. That's
really?
One of them. Bannix wound spray. And,
free.
Yeah.
Free stuff. Wow.
Free samples. Yeah, it's great.
That's super.
Yeah, and the wonderful, the door prizes, they have an absorbing gift basket valued at $159.95.
Shoot.
Wall Show Pro Clippers, $129.95. Groom tote full of product samples. Just lots of great
things. And they have that customer rewards program, and you spend so much, and then you get $10 off.
Oh, good.
So you can sign up for the customer
rewards.
Okay,
and that's out here on Paris Pike until 2.
Uh-huh.
Okay, maybe some people come out. Well, tell me, Equine Humane Center, how are things?
Things are good. Adoptions are up.
Good.
We're getting ready for our horse show on May 8th.
Valley High. Yeah, Joyce Brinsfield. I love her.
She's great. She's donated her facility, and we're real excited. And we've got a good response so far. So I hope everybody comes out, even if they don't come out to participate. Just come out and come out and see the horses.
Okay, you want to talk about this?
Ned is a good soul. He's 10 years old. He's 16 hands. We believe he's a thoroughbred, although we can't read his tattoo. And he's putting on some weight. He came from a local animal control agency.
Oh, so he's a rescue.
He's a rescue. And
no tattoo.
Yeah, he's got a tattoo, but it's not visible.
Oh, but you can't
see
it.
We don't know who he is. But he's just a really good boy. He's great under saddle. We've ridden him a couple of times. He's real quiet. And somebody's looking for a horse just to trail ride or pleasure ride, he'd be perfect.
Good. How about you? What have you got at New Vocations?
Oh, let me think. I've got Z Fortune that ran in the Derby. And we have
He coming?
I trail rode him all over the farm yesterday on his own.
Good.
He's rather round.
He is?
He's very fat, actually. So he's getting ready to go up for adoption, and we've had a lot of interest from, TV stations and a documentary film crew.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so we've got him, and then I've got Sensei, which was, I think he was a $650,000 two-year-old in training.
Ooh.
So he's really
fast.
Nice.
Is he still fast?
Oh, yeah, he's fast and furious. And then I just had two more coming from Florida. I mean, we've done really well, especially with the economy. I think since the 1st of January, I've gone through 23.
Yeah. So your average stay that you keep a horse that's sound is what, 4 weeks, six
about
weeks?
Four to six
Because you
weeks.
Found a home for my filly, Blink. I mean, and those people, it's so exciting. Those people are coming down here for...
Rolex.
So I get to meet them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, they send me pictures.
Yeah.
They're so cute. I'm so happy for that filly. She has her own 15-year-old girl. All her own.
She's
so
doing really well with
that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's very, very smart.
And we've got a booth. We've got a booth at Rolex, and we've got a tailgating spot.
Where is it? Did you ever find out? We just walk around till we see
you? No, I sent it to you.
Oh, you did?
I think it was tailgating spot T something.
Oh, but
the information's on the New Vocations website.
Oh, okay.
And you get a really good view of the cross country.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's fun.
So
good. I want to kind of run out there for a while. What about you? Did you get any? Kentucky Equine Humane Center get a tailgate?
No, we didn't get anything at Rolex.
No. Well,
Well, we're doing the tailgate thing's new, and it's where, like, donors and adopters and that can all meet up. And
That's a heck of an idea. You've got a nice-sounding horse that's no adoption fee in Ohio, is it? Looks like a nice horse. Is that thing gone?
I have no idea.
It was posted.
if they're not in Lexington.
Oh, okay. Somebody looked at that and said, it looks wonderful, and there was no fee. I wondered why that was.
Usually because we're waitlisted.
Oh, okay.
So they'll either drop the fee or they'll waive the fee to move them out quicker.
Yeah, to move them. That's a good idea.
Yeah, so we get through them quicker.
Yeah. So now you get on all yours. Do you got somebody getting on the ones?
We do. We just got another. Our grant was renewed from the ASPCA for $50,000. So we're starting our thoroughbred retraining program, and we're doing some natural horsemanship. Our horses are all going to be started under the Pirelli program. So.
Oh, good. Well,
we're excited about that.
Can people come down and watch that? A lot of people are very interested in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to put some things together.
Okay.
So.
Well, thanks for stopping in, girls.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having us back.
Yeah.
Well, I got to do a commercial.
Okay. I'm sorry. Oops. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
So it's out here at the
Central Kentucky Tech
Training Center. Yeah, you'll see the big white building. Go in there and put your name down and maybe win something. I may be able to go over there and register.
You need to come up.
Try to be nice.
All right. Good to see you, ladies.
You too.
Thank you.
Come back anytime.
Thank you.
Bring your own beer and a folding chair. Okay. I got a grimace on that one. All right, let's see. Where are we? Okay. It's tough to win graded stakes at Keeneland. Matter of fact, it's tough to win anything out of Keeneland. Just ask any trainer. Moostenfar won graded stakes at Keeneland. He also won graded stakes at Belmont Park. After breaking his maiden as a 2-year-old in New York, Moostenfar went on to win a place in 9 graded stakes for earnings of over $625,000. Besides his graded stakes wins at Keeneland and Belmont, here in Black Typhon graded stakes at Arlington Park, at Saratoga, and Gulfstream, beating just a half length in grade 1 stakes at Gulfstream. He also won at Woodbine, Tampa Bay. He went on dirt, grass, and artificial, and earned the respect of horsemen for his courage and determination. Moostenfar is by Sire's Unbridled, out of a daughter of Champion Height of Fashion, dam of 6 stakes winners, 3 of them champions. Great family. Moostenfar stands at Shadwell Farm for $3,000 live foal. Inquiries to Shadwell manager Kent Barnes. For more information about the Shadwell stallions, see the website at shadwellfarm.com. All righty. Jackie, you want to do that?
Yes, sir. I want to talk about Ralph Quillen, who just is hysterical on Facebook. Everybody needs to be his friend on Facebook because he puts up songs and stuff. I noticed he did the Paris. He's a big Paris supporter, you know, for the Merchants Association, that kind of stuff. He does a lot of...
Paris, you'll be right with you. Was that what that was for?
That's to see if you want to call Michael.
Oh.
See the thing on my phone? Do you want to call Michael now? Do you want him to call Michael?
How am I supposed to know that?
Because it's headlined, Michael, right there.
Oh, okay.
On the phone.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, we need to call Michael.
Here you go, Russie. Anyway, Quillen Leather and Tack, of course, is in downtown Paris. You go straight in, don't take the bypass, and go up another block and look to the left. Isn't it the third stoplight in town? I believe it is. They got a special promotion now on hickory twitches. These are Kentucky air-dried hickory twitches. They're hand-sanded. They've got a copper cap and a nylon twitch rope. They're really nice. We've got one. They're 4 feet by about 1.5 inches, and then they also have the other size. That's a 48-inch. That's $34.95, and the one-man twitch is $20.95. Now, if you don't know, a one-man twitch is a small, about a foot with a rope and everything on the end, but the end of the twitch is a snap. So you grab the horse's nose, and you put the twitch on, and then you just bring that twitch around and snap it to the halter. That way, if you're by yourself and you need to use a twitch, you can do that very thing. now also beat the Rolex three-day event rush. Free shipping on Mayer halters, turnout halters, four or more. And if you're coming to Rolex, everybody goes over there. So if you want anything, you know, you need to contact, get stuff done, 987-0730 or Quillin, Quillin.com.
Well, last Saturday in New York, the grade one $250,000 Carter handicap was won by Morning Line. Boy, old Colt Batiz now. Morning Line won the grade two Pennsylvania Derby and was second by head in the grade one Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile last year and was coming off a second in the grade one Don down at Gulfstream. He has earned over $1,114,000. Tiz now has sired seven Grade 1 stakes winners, plus nine others which have placed in Grade 1 stakes. And one of his seven Grade 1 stakes winners is the brilliant Colonel John, winner of the historic Grade 1 Traverse Stakes, the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, second in both the Grade 1 Goodwood Breeders' Cup Stakes and the Grade 1 Cash Call for Tootie, the latter is a two-year-old. And he earned over $1,779,000. He won stakes every year he raced, a two, three, four, one on dirt, turf, synthetic, won at distances from 7 furlongs to a mile and a quarter, sprinted a mile and won 32-2, posted six triple-digit buyers. Colonel John's first foals were arriving this year. He covered 135 mares in his first season at stud last year. And like his great sire, he stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiry to Robert Hammond. See the website, windstarfarm.com. All right, Jackie, we'll get around to wherever you were.
Yeah, I haven't started.
Okay.
But just how dumb I am. Michael's going to call, right? And here's how you do it. You take a break, you go to the station, Ressie goes click, click on the magic box over here and calls Michael, and then you can talk to Michael. I was going to hold the stupid cell phone up for him.
Oh.
How dumb is that? Now that's anyway.
Oh, I didn't know what you were doing.
Well, I didn't either. It's too bad.
Well, he's going out to call Michael so he can get a hold of him.
Yeah, next break. Okay.
Yeah, at the next break, yeah.
Well, and Lori Nagel was so kind to stop by, and we were talking about Horse of the Week from the Kentucky Equine Humane Center, Ned. He's a 10-year-old chestnut thoroughbred. He looks a little, she said she got him from a rescue. So, you know, this one needs a home. We've got one that was, starving and all that good stuff. And, it was a good thing we got her, but she is kind of forever grateful. I'll tell you, once they do that, though, they come back and they really put on the weight.
All righty. Well, this is from the KTA, Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, and they keep track of all these things for us. These are stakes winners last weekend who were bred in Kentucky. And the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby winner was Midnight Interlude, bred by Arnold Zetcher. The Grade 1 Ashland Stakes winner, Lilacs and Lace, was bred by Judy Hicks and Catherine Nickel. The Grade 1 Carter Handicap at Morning Line, of course, we just talked about him. He's by Tiz now, bred by Dale Ridge Farm. The Grade 2 Oakland Handicap, Win Willie, I like that name, bred by Overbrook Farm. The Illinois Derby, Grade 3, went to Joe Van, bred by Monocue. The Grade 3 Bayshore Stakes in New York, J.J.'s Lucky Train, son of Silver Train. That's his first crop, incidentally. Stands over at Vinery. Bred by the EICO stable. It's a fellow from Florida. The Grade 3 Transylvania Stakes went to Air Support. Bred by Stuart S. Janney III, probably foaled over at Claiborne. The La Las Ciengas Handicap out at Santa Anita, Separate Forest. Bred by the Diamond A Racing Corporation. That's, of course, managed by Ted and Mac Carr down over in Versailles. The inaugural stakes in England. Went to B.G. Suavecito, bred by West Wind Farm. And the Grade 3 March Stakes in Japan went to Testamata, bred by Waterford Farm over in close to Midway.
Okay. Also, Toba is having a new owner seminar May 5th at the Kentucky Derby Museum, of course, in Louisville. And they're going to have a breeding clinic here in Lexington May 27, 28, and 29. So, if you want to register or check it out or just look at it, it's www.toba.org. And as Lori Nagel and Lisa Malloy were here, and over here at the Thoroughbred Center, up at the, you'll see it when you drive in. You go past it and turn right on Johnson Road. They're having an open house to benefit both of their Equine Humane Center and New Vocation Racehorse Adoption. They're also having an all-breed charity horse show. This is the Humane Center, Sunday, May 8th at Bally High Show Stable in Versailles. If you have more information, call 333-8885. That's pretty easy. Now, here's a fun thing. You can walk the Rolex Cross Country Course with Bill Wofford. Oh, eventing legend, he's called. For free, fun, educational during the 2011 Rolex. That'll be on Friday, April 29th. So if you want some more information about that, just give them a call at the horse park or go online, look up the Rolex.
Well, hot summer winter last Saturday, the $150,000 Grade 3 Comley in New York is the 51st stakes winner, sired by Malibu Moon. Then on Thursday, Rodman by Malibu Moon won the Irish Tower Stakes at Aqueduct. Of course, that's the scene of his victory in the Grade 3 Queens County last December. Ranked number 3 on the North American sire list last year, in addition to siring runners, Malibu Moon has some running relatives. One of them is Temple City, who's standing his first season at stud this year. Temple City is out of the Danzig Mare curriculum, a half-sister to Malibu Moon, out of the Group 1 stakes winner Macumba by Mr. Prospector. And Temple City is sired by Dynaformer, who's ranked among the top 20 sires 11 times. Malibu Moon, Danzig, Mr. Prospector, Dynaformer, now that's a sire pedigree. Temple City won his first career start by 6 1/4 lengths, getting 6 1/2 furlongs and 1:15-1. Sprinted a mile and 1:34 flat. Set a new track record when he won the Grade 3 Cigar Second Handicap. Was second by head in Grade 1 stakes, by head in Grade 2 stakes. Was beaten less than a length in yet another Grade 2 stakes. Temple City is a graded stakes winner and a Grade 1 place with a great sire pedigree, standing his first season stud for $5,000 live foal at Spendthrift Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, or Ned Toffey, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Farm Stamp, detailed pedigree data, risk class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contest, exciting monthly giveaways. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover Bristat.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Can I go first?
Yeah, talk about it. Yeah, Jackie, let her rip.
Okay, Wycliffe Veterinary Pharmacy. It's a brand-new pharmacy, 4340 Georgetown Road. This is a really good pharmacy. It is a compounding pharmacy. Medicine and pharmaceutical companies are very standardized now and industrialized, which is fine. Therefore, they set up this pharmacy as a compounding pharmacy. What that means is it doesn't come in prepackaged. They mix it to your specific qualifications. If you've got a big horse or a small pony or whatever, and you don't want the standard size, Wycliffe can grind it or powder it. Heck, I don't know what they do, but they do the magic stuff. They've got chemists and pharmacists that can do this. It's amazing, you know. There's only one or two human pharmacies that do compounding in around here. This is a great advantage. Not only that, they color code on labels for you. They do a lot of great stuff. I want to give you their phone number. It's 934-5678. That's such an easy number. 888-934-5678.
Yeah, you need a prescription for your vet to...
The vets can call in the prescription and you just go pick it up.
Or you can right there write you one and you can take it over and deliver it and they'll fix it for you.
Yeah.
And they're located right next, of course, to the Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine Facility. As a matter of fact, Jackie Bernard, who founded Wycliffe, is married to Dr. Bill Bernard, who founded the Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. So it's right at where Ironworks Pike empties onto the Georgetown Pike. Of course, the surgery facility there and a sports medicine facility is elective surgery there. It's outpatient. You call up, you make an appointment, you go in, they take care of you, and they send you home. And it's very convenient. It's very economical. They give you the price of right up front about what it's going to cost you. No added-ons, you know, when you get the bill. There's not going to be any surprises. And, of course, they've got Dr. Wes Sutter there, who's a board-certified surgeon, and Dr. Bill Bernard. who, of course, was, everybody knows Bill, is with 17 years with Rudin Riddle, and he heads the outpatient medicine division. Dr. Lori Bidwell, who was also with Bill over at Rudin Riddle, she moved over with him. She's a board-certified anesthesiologist. So just call them for an appointment, let them know what you want done, and they'll do it and send you home with no surprises. That's Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine.
I got one of those. Okay. Got one of these weird announcements here.
They're all weird when you're doing, dear.
Your local Humane Society is wonderful. ASPCA is not doing bad these days, giving money to old friends and all that kind of stuff. But the Humane Society of the United States, whose president is Wayne Pacelli, has said, "We are going to use the ballot box and the democratic process to stop all hunting in the United States. We will take it species by species until all hunting is stopped, and then we will take it state by state." Now, we have a problem here in Kentucky. There are people, anti-hunters, are voicing opposition to sandhill crane hunting season. It's small, it's got a few number of people that want to do it, and it thins the flock. There are 60,000 sandhill cranes, minimum. They have 8,000 to 10,000 young every year, and all the harvest is 400 of these birds, and it helps thin them a little so they don't overpopulate, and then they die. Now, you need to pay attention to this because somebody's trying to step on your rights again. Oh, no kidding. There's a guy named John Gassett, G-A-S-S-E-T-T, number one, Sportsman's Lane. That's easy to remember, in Frankfort, Kentucky, 40601. He needs to hear from you or go online or call your representative. They get their foot in the door anyway, so now I've said that. Okay, the National Horse Show is going to host a press conference at the Horse Park Wednesday, May the 11th. If you think you can qualify for as a media
your
outlet
recording time
person,
is about to expire.
If I could fake
please
that.
Finish your message
anyway,
within 8 seconds.
Oh, here's a good one. Michael Blowen, we are calling back sooner or later, is founder of Old Friends Equine Retirement Fund, is
your
one of four finalists for the 2011 Equine Industry Vision Award. Be presented during the American Horse Publications annual seminar June 17th in San Diego. It recognizes innovation, leadership, and service. Now, Churchill Charities is having a 2011 Derby and Oaks ticket auction and handicapping a seminar April 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. And if you're interested in this, you need to go online and go to, Liz Harris does this, you know. Isn't that interesting? This is Liz Harris's. And anyway, you need to get a hold of her. And that is, I'm looking, www.churchilldownsincorporated.com/foundation and talk to Liz about that. That's, she's a good girl. She used to do what? She used to come in all the time.
Thoroughbred Charities of America.
Thoroughbred Charities.
She's at Churchill Downs now.
Yeah. That, well, that's what this is for. And
okay.
It benefits a lot of good.
Let me interrupt
charities.
You. You can take it up at the top of the hour, okay?
Okay.
Well, last Saturday at Aqueduct, the Grade 3 $200,000 Bay Shore Stakes was won by J.J.'s Lucky Train. He's a 3-year-old colt from the first crop of Silver Train. And a Woodbine, $150,000 Starshoot Stakes, was won by Portside, 3-year-old filly from the first crop by Congrats. Now, J.J.'s Lucky Train closed with a rush to take the Bay Shore. 7 furlongs, 1:22-2. He was coming off a win in the Miracle Wood Stakes at Laurel to post his 5th win from 8 career starts. And he is one of 5 stakes horses, 3 stakes winners from Silver Train's first crop. Silver Train, of course, won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint, the Grade 1 Metropolitan, the Grade 2 Jerome, the Grade 2 Tom Fool, earned over $1,259,000, and he's one of 15 stakes winners from the first 3 crops by the ill-fated Old Trieste, a son of A.P. Indy. Congrats, last year's leading freshman sire, aside 15 stakes horses, including 2 Grade 1 stakes winners in his first crop. Silver Train and Congrats stand at Vinery. You're invited to visit the farm to inspect the stallions and the Vinery facilities for boarding, breaking, rehab, sales, whatever pertains to the thoroughbred, they can do it. Inquiries to John Gasper, Francis Relihan, or Grant Williamson, see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They are nice people, and they do a great job.
Sports Radio 1300, live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, love it as much as we do.
LXG AM.
Well, Chester has sold 29 stakes when Ipsum was only three crops to race. In fact, an amazing 13% of his foals won stakes. Among them are 9 graded stakes winners, 2 winners of Breeders' Cup races, and 2 grade 1 stakes winners. Left to carry on the tradition is one of those grade 1 stakes winners, Divine Park. A brilliant miler, Divine Park won the historic grade 1 Metropolitan. He ran one of the fastest dirt miles ever recorded, 1:32.3, to win the grade 3 Westchester at Belmont Park. His time for the grade 3 Withers, another race rich in tradition, was 1:34.3. He also set a new track record for 7 furlongs at Keeneland, 1:21. Won 6 of his 9 starts and over $612,000. Divine Park's female family has given us champion and millionaire Imperial Gesture, Kentucky Oaks winner Sardula, and a host of others. A superb individual, Divine Park's first foals or yearlings stands for $10,000 with breeding incentives available at Mr. and Mrs. Brer and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Alrighty, we're going to start the second hour of this, whatever you want to call this, Horse Tales, and I believe I have Michael Blowen, who is out at Keeneland. Now, Michael, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, where are you at Keeneland?
It's right outside the paddock.
Right outside the paddock, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, you should be. we brought Ball 4 over today, and Jim Bouton, the pitcher for the Yankees and the author of the book Ball 4, is here, and he was signing books, and we're just having a ball. Everybody's been great.
Oh, okay. Did you all go to the ball game last night? Or did you get rained out?
We went the night before.
Oh, the night before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How do you like the Legends Park?
He liked it a lot. He had a really good time. He went up and helped with the play-by-play, did a little color commentary, which he'd done in the past. And I'm telling you, Ursula, he and his wife are just having a ball. They can't wait to come back.
Oh, that's fun. That's good. Well, did Ball 4, the horse, ship all right this morning?
Are you kidding? He's a 10-year-old gelding. He's been to 18 different racetracks. He was wondering why the trailer didn't show up a few days ago. he gets on that trailer, gets on, gets off. Janet and Kent did a great job with him, and he was fabulous. And then they showed his Fayette Stakes win up on all the TV screens, and people applauded. Even though it was a little drizzly and everything, we still got a nice, appreciative crowd.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Sally Van Hollier?
Of course. Maybe that's why he got on so easily.
Well, of course. They're the best.
He said, Tyler's coming to get me again.
Is that right? Well, exactly what did you do with him out there?
Well, he just walked around in the paddock, and people took pictures, and they got pictures of him with Jim Bouton, and then and Chris picture taken with Chris. So, and Jim signed some of his books, Ball. We're going to go up and have lunch and watch the great racing this afternoon.
Now, you said Chris. You mean Chris McCarron? Did he ride him?
No, he didn't, but he was just, you know, showing the colors. So it was he even made an exception because of, you know, Chris, of course, a lifetime Red Sox fan, but we have one Yankee exemption, and so we're using it on Bouton.
Okay.
That's funny.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Is it going to be a good crowd out there today?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's crowded already.
Oh, crowded and, already.
The sun's peeking out.
Yeah, I think the rain's about over.
Yeah, going to be, I think it's going to be a really nice afternoon. And see, I'd like to congratulate Get Stormy, who won the Maker's Mark Mile yesterday.
Okay.
He's out of Akiri's Clown Mare.
Out of what now?
Akiri's Clown Mare.
Is that right?
Yes. And the woman that owns him, Mary Sullivan, also bred and owned Akiri's Clown. So it's all in the, she's had this this whole long generational thing, and she's a very big supporter of Old Friends. So a little Old Friends karma, and you got yourself a 9-2 shot yesterday, wire to wire.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Yeah. Very, very nice. And we've got a lot of tours today and a lot of tours tomorrow, so we're heading into the season big time.
Are you staying for the bluegrass, or are you going to go home and do the tours?
Well, I think we have enough volunteers to do the tours, and I'd love to be able to stay for the bluegrass.
Yeah, who do you like?
I have no idea. It's been so busy here, I haven't even had time to handicap, so I can't even tell people who not to bet.
Well, let me pick one. That'll do it.
Okay, there you go. I like it. I need your help.
Yeah, well.
In more ways than one. And Tony Chase, who owns the Bluegrass Stallions here in Georgetown, is a big supporter of Old Friends. We went out to dinner last night at the 1840 with them. And tonight we're going to the Black Tulip.
Ah, no, not the Black Tulip, just the Tulip.
Just whatever it is, that's where we're going.
Okay.
I hope.
Yeah.
Diane knows how to get there anyway. Yeah, we're going to the Tulip. We're all excited. Jim Bouton's coming, and we're going to the Tulip with Bill and Debbie Vandendoel. We're going to have dinner, and Spencer's cooking it. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'll get a good meal there.
Yes, yes, indeed.
You know, if you sit outside like we did, you can count cars.
I love it. I love it. Now that's an exciting thing. I haven't had that much fun since I lived in Boston.
Well, it sounds like you're going to have a good day.
I think it's going to be great, Ursel. Absolutely great. And you know, we've had this fundraising campaign the last couple of days to help us out with our mortgage at the bank, and you know, in 2 days we raised over $50,000.
Oh, that's great.
And so I'd like to thank everybody that's helped us. We've had contributions. Tony Chase gave me a check last night at dinner for $5,000.
My goodness gracious. Well, that's
and we got that and contributions, $10, $5, $15. I mean, people have been very, very, very nice to us.
Mm-hmm.
We really, really appreciate the support.
Well, it's deserving. And it's just one of those things, you know, that I'm sure it's going to straighten out. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now it is.
Now it is, yeah. Now it is. You've taken care of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, Michael.
Well, Ursel, thank you so much, buddy.
All right, I'll let you get back to handicapping.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do something. I got to at least know how I lost.
Yeah, well, so, yes.
Poor judgment. That's how you lost.
I can't
exactly right.
I can't make it out there today, so throw 20 on the ground for me, will you?
Oh, I will, Ursel.
Okay, all right.
With your picture on it, actually.
Oh, boy. He had to get little digs in there, didn't he? All right, Michael, thank you.
Hey, I have to tell you one more thing, Ursel. I ran into somebody the other day at Keeneland that spent 15 or 20 minutes telling me what a treasure you are.
A true
who? Oh, yeah, he's a treasure.
Yeah.
Male or female?
Yeah, you. That you are a treasure, that they listen to the program every Saturday, that they used to listen to your results show. They didn't even have a bet. They just liked to hear you talk about it. I mean, the guy was unbelievable.
Oh, well,
so,
it must be
passing that along.
I don't have many relatives left, so I must have been one of them. Tell him to talk to my wife, will you?
I will. I'll tell him to pass it along.
Okay. All right, Michael.
All right, Ursel, thank you very much, buddy.
Thank you, my friend. Talk to you later.
You bet. Bye.
Well, Arch is a sire of 4 champions and 6 Grade 1 stakes winners. He's a sire of Blame, winner of the Eclipse Award as champion older horse in 2010 and ranked number 1 in North America by the International Federation of Horse Racing Authorities. Blame defeated Zenyatta in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. Beat Quality Road Musket Mang, Haynesfield, Minette Bird in the Grade 1 Whitney. Whipped Battle Plan, General Quarters, Giant Oak in the Grade 1 Stephen Foster. Won the Grade 2 Clark, the Grade 2 Fayette. The Grade 2 William Donald Schaefer won the Curling Stakes, earned $4,368,214. Arch is also side the winners of the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks, the Grade 1 E.P. Taylor, the Grade 1 Alabama, the Grade 1 Gazelle, the Grade 1 Dolly Gold Cup, the Group 1 Golden Jubilee, the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Breeders' Cup Handicap, and the winners of major stakes from coast to coast and in 6 different countries. Grade 1 stakes winner Arch is a major source of classic stamina, and he stands at Claiborne Farm for $30,000 to win a full stands in nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality is still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, day before yesterday at Keeneland, the Grade 1 Vinery Madison Stakes was won by Shotgun Gulch, a four-year-old filly by Thunder Gulch. Shotgun Gulch defeated a crack field of stakes fillies, including Eclipse Award finalist Evening Jewel, to post her fourth stakes win for owner-breeder C.R. Trout. She is one of 82 stakes winners by Thunder Gulch, who is not a stranger to sign Grade 1 stakes winners. Here, side the winners of such graded USA stakes as the Preakness, the Belmont, the Haskell, the Travers, the Breeders' Cup Distaff, the Coaching Club American Oaks, the Breeders' Futurity, the Santa Anita Derby, Hopeful, the Matron, the La Brea. He sired a horse of the year, a Grade 1 stakes winner and on three continents, and some 160 stakes horses, and he's ranked number one on the North American sire list. Winner of the Kentucky Derby, winner of over $2,915,000. Thunder Gulch stands for $10,000 live foal at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore.
Oh,
my favorite restaurant.
Oh,
there.
Yes, we really did have a good time at the Tulip Bistro and Bar over on Romney Road, Chevy Chase in Lexington. It was great. It was just the right temperature, and they've got, I don't know what, half a dozen tables out front.
Yeah.
It was fun. We saw people. I was kidding about counting cars. I counted cars. Ursa wouldn't count cars. But anyway, we saw a lot of people we knew. It was fun. The food is out of this world. Now, this is Chef Spencer Vandendoel, who was the chef out at the one-time famous, wonderful Black Tulip in Midway. And this was in town. This one's closer. But the menu is just as fabulous. And they've got something like 100 different kind of wines, or what is that? I mean, a lot of wines. We got a magazine about the very best attractions of the bluegrass and, you know, one of those, the best restaurants. I think it was the short list, best restaurants in Lexington, and this was on there by Cracky. So, can't recommend it enough. What we took home, a dessert to die for. It was some kind of wonderful whipped creamy concoction with some kind of real thin, like, cookies, and then fresh fruit, berries. It was all berries. That's one of the best things. I mean, we took it home for Betsy, and I mean, I was scooping it up and eating it. I was taking it to her. Mom, quit that. But anyway, they're great also on fish and stuff. Chesapeake Bay oysters on the half shell, or oysters Rockefeller, or fried oysters. They have what they call a trio de mer, chef selection of three seafood starters, and so on. And they have an entree menu with duck, short ribs, fillets, shrimps, tenderloin. Listen, this place is terrific. They got a great menu, and it's not a bad idea to call and make reservations. You're over on Romney Road, right across from Kroger's. 367-6687. That's 367-6687. And let me see here. Ooh. Chris McCarron stopped in. And, you know, he has the Racing Academy out here. They did a feature yesterday on TVG.
On Ben Creed.
Ben Creed, yeah. And they showed him and all, and, the kids and all that good stuff. Anyway, the NBC people were here, and they are going to do a video, you know, a spot that they did. Not a spot. They're doing a segment on the Today Show Wednesday, May 4th, right before the Derby, about the Racing Academy. So that's a fun thing. I want to be sure to put – I better mark my calendar. See, that's kind of stuff you forget. So today is the Masterson Equestrian Trust Horse Show. But they got soggy this morning. It was morning. It was the Hunter Show. Tomorrow is the Jumper Show and Cross Country Schooling. You know where that is. Everybody knows where that is. That's out Leestown on the right after you pass the suburbs. Okay. Sean Dameron's back. I talked to him the other day. He was going up with somebody to look for somebody's horses up northern Kentucky somewhere. Guy had put some horses up there and hadn't been up to see him. Anyway, he's back in the bluegrass. He's got a shop in Versailles at 190 North Main. He's DameronTech.com or DameronCams.com. He's putting video cameras on farms, in barns, in training places, or your house, or whatever. The thing is he puts these cameras up, and you can access the video from your iPad or your telephone. What do you call a telephone that does that? iPhone, see, with a ring. Or your computer. So wherever you are, if you've got horses put somewhere, you can have him put up a camera, too. You can see what they're doing all day.
He just put one in the other day for Pork and Avine Campion out at Blandford Stud, and Pork said that was
the best
investment he ever made.
Yeah, because they've got a big, you know, when you've got to look over a lot of acreage, it's awful nice to be able to flip on the computer and say, see, everything's fine. So he does a good job, and he's a lot cheaper than a national company. And his phone number is 230-6449 or DameronTech.com or DameronCams.com. Also today, Kentucky Spring Premier Saddlebred Show. And that runs through, is today the 16th or the 15th? Today's the 16th. Okay, it's championship day. 16th and 17th is the Double Dan Horsemanship Clinic. Don't know much about that. And tomorrow... No, today is the Hippity Hoppity Hunt.
I don't know much about that either.
I don't know nothing about no Easter. I guess it's Easter eggs. Or, as they say, some weird place calls them spring spheres. Oh, weird. Now, tomorrow is the Champions Birthday Party in the Hall of Champions to celebrate the birthdays of superstar horses. 259-4272 if you want to go see that. The gift shop opens for the season April 26th and 27th. Guess what that's the beginning of? Rolex, April 28th through May 1st, the Rolex 3-day. The only 4-star 3-day that goes over 4 days in the United States. Mm. And that's the truth. Oh, Biofuel, 4-year-old filly, has been named Canadian Horse of the Year. That's the Sovereign Award. She's by Storm and Fever. Bred and owned by Brereton C. Jones. Also, Michael Blowen, we talked to a little bit ago, co-founder and principal of, sounds like a school. Anyway, we all know who Michael Blowen is. He's going to receive the Sam McCracken Award for Lifetime Achievements from the New England Turf Riders Association. So that's pretty cool.
Nominated for something else, too.
Yeah, I read that one already.
Oh, did you?
That's when you were sleeping. Well, your eyes had that funny glaze. Well, anyway. Now, this is kind of a fun thing. Windstar Farm, one of our fine sponsors, has, I don't know, it's like something you can do online to become a part of the horse business, okay? It's called Stablemates. You can become a Windstar Stablemate. You get to go behind the scenes of a leading thoroughbred operation and get updates on the horses. It's kind of like those mock football or whatever they call that stuff that they do.
Fantasy.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So this is really kind of a fun thing. You get games and contests, and you get to look at the farm cameras, what I was just talking about.
Ah.
You get on your computer, and you can see what's going on, and you get on the website and all that good stuff. Now, for a complete list of benefits and more information, Windstar Stablemates, www.thehorsecapitaloftheworld.com. All right, Kim Jedlicky, who trains out here, is a member of the Scott County Women's Club. They're having a pre-derby party to raise money for Quest Farm. And I'd heard about Quest Farm. It's a working farm for adults with developmental disabilities. Gives them something to do, and they sell the stuff. You know, they contribute a lot to it themselves. But they're going to give them some money, Habitat for Humanity, Georgetown Readiness Preschool, and the Amen House at Georgetown. May 5th. That's a Thursday before the Derby at Stonehouse Farm. That's Jed Licky's place. 3248 Ironworks Road. Now, where that is, 62 runs from Georgetown to the interstate. Ironworks crosses it out there right before you get to Old Friends. And they're on the Frankfort side. If you go out, you find it. It's going to be at 6 o'clock. It's $75 a person. Open bar, catered, live music. People, Dave and Lisa performed for years at the Campbell House in Lexington. Give Kim Jedlicky a call. It's 502 because it's Georgetown, 867-8056. Also, if today's the 14th, it's the Cardinal Hill Telethon. So, do you want to make a break here?
Yeah.
Okay, well, today's the Cardinal Hill Telethon. I can't remember what channel's on. I think it's 27, but... anyway, check, because Cardinal Hill is the best place ever.
Well, First Defense gave early notice that he was a runner, breaking his maiden as a two-year-old by over 8 lengths at Belmont Park. At 3, he went around 2 turns to take the Long Branch Breeders' Cup Stakes at Monmouth, sprinted 7 furlongs in an eye, popping 120 and 4 at Belmont, ran a dead game second to Hardspun in the Grade 1 King's Bishop at Saratoga. Next year, he sprinted 7 furlongs and won 21 and 2, to win the Grade 1 four-goal stakes at Saratoga by nearly 7 lengths, ran 6 furlongs in 9-2 to take Belmont's Grade 3 Jaipur stakes on the grass, and finished second in the Grade 2 Vanderbilt at Saratoga. First Defense displayed brilliant speed, Grade 1 speed, and he's got a great sire pedigree. He's by the highly successful Unbridled Song. His dam by Seattle Slough won Grade 1 stakes, earned over $894,000, and she's a half-sister to 2 successful sires, Empire Maker and Chester House, both proven sires of Grade 1 stakes winners. This is, of course, the family of the Grade 1 stakes winner and broodmare of the year, Troussard. The first foals by First Defense, or yearlings, stands for 7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. I want to say something about my good friend Tom Biederman. Tom is, of course, a real estate broker here in Lexington. And, I say here in Lexington. Hell, he's got farms for sale all over.
Oh, I know. It's
all got over Central
gorgeous
Kentucky.
Gorgeous one down toward Harrodsburg.
Got them everywhere.
Famous old
got
place.
A couple over there that I lust after over on Greenwich. Close to us, you know.
Yeah. If you can stand living close to us.
Yeah, that was the background. That's the outrider calling the medic.
Yeah, so he can leave. Because they've closed the lower track now. The upper track's been closed. He just closed the lower track, and Robin called him up and said the track is closed. So he gets to leave.
Anthony, have a good one.
You too. We'll see you next week.
All righty. Go ahead, Jackie. So we're talking about Tom Biederman.
Tom Biederman's got some really nice listings, and I just... wrote down a few because it's pretty interesting. There's a townhouse available at Griffin Gate on the 17th fairway, and they hardly ever come up. So if you want to live out on Griffin Gate, and it's a choice place to live now, it's pretty, and, of course, they mow those lawns.
Sneak out the back door and play around.
That would be you. This thing is 157 square feet. It's beautifully furnished. You can buy it furnished or not. It's $315,000. That's
nice price.
That's pretty nice price.
Buy me one, Mommy.
Buy you one, Mommy. Okay. And some with a little more acreage, 5540 Russell Cave. 40 acres, 12-stall barn, run-in shed, asphalt road, 625. Yeah. A lot of good stuff out
there. Well, that's Tom Biederman, real estate and auctioneers. And as I say, Tom is... a great guy to do business with, and if you're thinking about selling your farm, or if you wanted to buy a farm, he's the guy to call. And let me give you the number. It's 277-2030, and his website is BiedemanBrokerage.com. BIEDERMAN Brokerage.com.
Sally Van Service, an experienced horseman, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, last weekend, the winners of four graded stakes, two grade one, were raised by associates of McCauley Brothers. The grade one Carter Handicap in New York went to Morning Line, a co-bred and raised by Dell Ridge Farm. At Santa Anita, the grade one Santa Anita Derby winner, Midnight Interlude, was raised at Don Robinson's Winter Quarter Farm for Arnold Zetcher. Also at Santa Anita, the winner of the grade three La Ciengas Handicap, Separate Forest, was bred and raised at Diamond A Farm. And Hot Summer, winner of the grade three Comely at Aqueduct, was bred by Lazy Lane Farms, an associate of the McCauley plant that's based in Pennsylvania. So congratulations to all. And let us remind you again that last year's USA Horse of the Year, Zenyatta, was raised by the aforementioned Winter Quarter Farm. And the 2010 Canadian Horse of the Year, Biofuel, was bred by Burton C. Jones and raised as his Airdrie stud. You're invited to join the winning team. Just call Steve Baker or Mike Warren at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. All righty, well, I believe I have with me the illustrious Steve Moody, the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published by our good friends Briss. And he is going to give us the winner of the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes today. Guaranteed. Steve, I'm just hung up. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing all right, Ursel. Pretty good mix of horses for the Bluegrass Stakes. We got a full field, and you got a mix. You got horses that have, you know, had success on the dirt. You had horses with success on the turf. And you had a couple mixed in there that had some success on polytrack. So, it's kind of a crapshoot to try to figure out which one of these is really going to jump up and run a big race today. Most of them are lightly raced. Like, seems like all these three-year-olds are now that get on the Derby trail. And Santiva is a horse that's... I guess going to go off the favorite. Mike Battaglia made him 3-1, sort of a lukewarm favorite, and it probably deserves that. He was second in the Risen Star last time out down in New Orleans, and he does have a race at Keeneland. He ran pretty well in his only start at Keeneland, so he certainly is a horse that you've got to give us a good chance too, although he certainly doesn't look overpowering by any stretch of the imagination. I thought another horse that was worth a look in here was the 8 horse, Wilcox Inn, who was trained by Michael Stidham and had a race last time, a tightener that I thought he definitely needed. Been off now 5 weeks, and I think he'll move forward today. And I think 10-1, he's certainly one to take a look at. Also, the 11 horse, Crimson China. This is a horse that kind of intrigued me. Last time out, he was second in the Rush Away Stakes up at Turfway on a Spiral Day. And prior to that, had won at he already has a win at 1 1/8, which obviously most of these do not. And he has the look of a horse that's I think maybe coming to this race the right way. Looks like he couldn't be sitting on a big race today. He's lightly raced and already is, you know, is always right there. So I, you know, 10-1, he looks kind of intriguing to me, Ursel. I think he's going to be, laying in a pretty good spot. He had some trouble, last time out in the rush away. I think if he breaks a little better today, it won't be quite as far back. And, I think the fact that he has experience, going 9 furlongs will, that'll, help him also. So we're going to try to upset the field today in the bluegrass with the 11 horse Crimson China. Then we'll go with the favorite, Santiva second and, Wilcox in third. So, 11-3-8 in the, I believe it's the 87th running of the Bluegrass Stakes.
All right. I'm sure Barry Irwin hopes you're right. The Team Valor.
Well, he knows where to send the, royalty check, so.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Jackie.
How can it be the 87th running when this is the 75th anniversary?
First one was run in 37.
Oh, at the old track?
No. Couldn't be the 87th. What does it say in the form here? 87th running of the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes.
They must have run it in town.
I didn't know they made Toyotas back then. I thought they were making dive bombers at the time.
I believe that. What do you know how that gets to be 87 on 75th anniversary?
I'm assuming, Jackie, that they had to run it,
at the old association track.
Yeah, downtown.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, thank you for that information. I didn't know that. That picked my head up a little.
She's always nitpicking things. Steve, thank you, my friend.
Anytime, Murphy.
All righty. It's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. You can find that wherever you, see a daily racing form for sale. All righty. Where are we? Well, I said I was going to do something about the blue. You got some more to read there?
Just real quick, a couple of quick ones.
Okay. A couple of quickies?
Let me see. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. And it's cross-country schooling days at the horse park. You get to ride the horse park. You do not get to ride on the steeplechase course. You get to ride around the steeplechase course and inside the steeplechase course, and you get to cross it in two places to get to the infield of the steeplechase course. And you are not allowed to ride on a steeplechase course. I've been schooled myself.
Who schooled you, dear?
Bill Wofford. So there you are.
There you are, Bill.
Anyway, Sunday, May 15th is the day you can go out there. That's the first of 5 days. It's $35, and it's $20 for a trailer pass. So you need to call them and get that stuff sort of straightened out. On Sundays, there's an 8 to noon session and a noon to 4. So give them a call, 255-5727. That's probably enough. Except that the day after Pimlico, day after the Preakness, is the
High Hope,
and Cardinal Hill is one of the sponsors and beneficiaries this year, and today's the Cardinal Hill Telethon.
We're especially interested in Cardinal Hill.
They've done so much. They're wonderful
for
people.
For us, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll look at some of the old bluegrass winners. I'm going to look at Chateauguay. I'm going to wait till after this next break to do that, though. He won the, won the Bluegrass back in 1963, for Darby Dan. And I'm going to look at him because, they're running in Maryland today, a stakes race named after his full sister, who would be, of course, Primonetta. So, let's look at some of the others. 1937, a horse that won it. I'd really, don't know a whole lot about him. Horse named Fencing was his name. Won the race. I do know it was by chance shot. And I do know that, Earl Sandy trained him, the great rider.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting enough, the horses ran second and third. Billionaire and Brooklyn both raced for, E.R. Bradley. And, Basil James rode Billionaire, who ran second. And then 2 years later, Basil James came back as the trainer of Heather Broom and for John Hay Whitney and won the Bluegrass Stakes as a trainer, beating Third Degree. who's it was a really excellent named horse. I thought he was by Questionnaire.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah, it's a good name. That third degree. Good. Yeah, a horse named Visconti ran third. He was by Trap Rock, I do believe. And of course, the second running of the Bluegrass went to Bull Lee for Calumet Farm, son of Bulldog, as everybody knows. And Irvin Anderson rode him. Me Now ran second for Mr. Hal Price Healy. He was by Fairmont the second. And let's see, Red Breast ran third. I can't remember who he was by. And Heather Broom won it in 1939. I just got through saying that. Then Mr. Bradley won it in 1940 with Bimlick. Ridden by F.A. Smith. Bill Hurley was a trainer. Beat a real speed horse named Roman. Roman by Sir Galahad the third. Bimlick, of course, went to stud over at Green Tree and did pretty well. Roman went to stud at Elmendorf and then moved to the Stallion Station when Lou Darty moved over there. He was, as I said, by Sir Galahad the third. Really good horse. 1941 winner, Our Boots, was Royce Martin's Woodvale Farm owned him, and Con McCrary was the trainer. Con was a very good one of the leading riders back then, and he beat Whirlaway, who was ridden by Wendell Eads, and that of course Whirlaway went on and won the Derby. And then the first shutout won in 1942 for Green Tree Stables. And shutout went on, of course, and he was the first Bluegrass Stakes winner to win the Derby. He was by Equipoise, and he was ridden by Eddie R. Carroll and trained by John Gaver. And John's grandson, John Gaver, has a string of horses out here at Keeneland. He's got one of the new barns.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not out at Keeneland, excuse me, out at here at the Thoroughbred Center.
Yeah, I talked to him one day.
Nice young man.
Yeah.
Very polite, well-spoken.
Yeah.
And, well, he's got a great pedigree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was real fun talking to him about his family.
Yeah.
It was fun.
He was, he's got one of the new barns at Keeneland built down here when they bought the place, one of the new con, and it's, he's really happy with it. Just came up here from Florida. He was at Tampa. And he's got a full barn down there. I think 17, 18 horses. So
good.
And one of our esteemed trainers here.
Yeah.
All right, let me take a break, and then we'll come back and continue on a little bit there. You know, let me see where I am. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's hard to win a graded stakes at Keeneland. As a matter of fact, it's hard to win any kind of a race out at Keeneland. Just ask any trainer. Mouston Farr won Greatest Stakes at Keeneland. He also won Greatest Stakes at Belmont. After breaking his maiden as a two-year-old in New York, Mouston Farr went on to win a place in 9 Greatest Stakes for earnings of over $625,000. Beside his Greatest Stakes wins at Keeneland and at Belmont, here in Black Type and Greatest Stakes at Arlington Park, Saratoga, Gulfstream, he was just beaten a half a length in Grade 1 Stakes there, Woodbine, Tampa Bay. He went on dirt, grass, artificial, earning the respect of horsemen for his courage and determination. Mouston Farr is by the sire of sires unbridled, out of a daughter of champion, height of fashion, dam of 6 stakes winners, 3 of them champions, great family. Mouston Farr stands at Shadwell Farm for super regional $3,000 live foal. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes. And for more information about the Shadwell stallions, just go to the website at ShadwellFarm.com. Now I got to say something about Jim Fitzgerald. Not hard to say something good about Jim, especially since he came in and chain-haired my farmer.
Yeah, thank you, good neighbor Jim.
Did a great job, Jim. If you're listening, I tell you, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
and
you can see the back of our place when you come from Paris down Brentsville Road, and you just see those nice stripes.
Yeah.
Ooh, thank you.
Jim's a great guy. He owns Knott Griffin Farm.
And Harper's
and
Island.
And Harper's Island Farm down in our direction. He's been at Knott Griffin since 1994.
Is that right?
Yes, he has. And, you know, of course, he'd recently developed Harper's Island. And it's the farms are just 10 minutes apart, so... and we're lucky enough to be right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
And his man comes down and turns in our little place and helps us out. And it's wonderful to have a great neighbor.
Got great help, too. Those guys know what they're doing, and they're very nice.
Yeah. Of course, Jim knows what he's doing, too. If, you know, he got started out with Dr. Michael Osmond at the National Irish National Stud. Then he came over here and went to work for John Williams Dispensary. Then he went to work for Lee Eaton. You won't find three better horsemen anywhere.
Absolutely.
And anyway, he's very successful, and he's just a wonderful guy to know and a good friend of ours. And he's got two great farms, and if you're looking for a place to board, sales prep, sales transactions, private or public, doesn't make any difference, rehab, and he's got quality farm help. And I suggest that you just give him a call. He can just give you some good common sense, sound advice, too, and he's somebody you can trust. That's Jim Fitzgerald and Knott Griffin Farm, and here's his number, 987-8032. All righty, and let's see, where else am I now? I've got to take care of my good friends at Winstar. Hold Me Back won the Grade 2 $500,000 Lands End Stakes, won a Grade 3 Dominion Day Stakes, won his first two starts at 2, won at Arlington, won at Keeneland, ran second in the Grade 1 Travers and the Grade 1 Bluegrass, and he earned over $872,000. He's by champion sire Giants Causeway out of a daughter of unbridled song and a vowel, a champion three-year-old filly of a year, and a champion sprinter. Family's already given us a host of superior stakes winners, including the great Tom Fool. He's standing his first season of stud for $6,000, doing a full stands and nurses. Pay the fee when due, and you receive a free lifetime breeding right. One and done. Spring at last, won the Grade 1 Don, ventured abroad and won the Grade 2 $1 million Godolphin Mile, won on dirt, grass, artificial, sprinted a mile and won 33 and 2. Met and defeated the likes of Einstein and De Hare and Midnight Loot, earned over $1,139,000. He covered more than 200 mares in his first two seasons at stud and his first foals of yearlings. He's by Silver Deputy. He's one of two Grade 1 stakes winners out of a daughter of Dynaformer, and he stands for $7,500 doing a foal stands and nurses. Breeding incentives are available. Hold Me Back and Spring at Last both stand at Windstar Farm, which is a good thing. Inquiries to Robert Hammond and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
I'm heading down the highway, have tears running
all time. I was going to talk a little bit about Chateauguay, so that's what I'm going to do. I've got a few minutes. As I say, he was the third Bluegrass Stakes winner to win the Kentucky Derby. Tommy Lee won in 1959. He was one of my favorite horses. Tommy Lee beat Willie Shoemaker. He beat Dunch. Dunch, the son of Tom Fool, that was ridden by Steve Brooks. Of course, Dunch, the Claiborne bred. And Lurula by Nazrula ran third. And Nurula was out of a... what was he out of? Out of a mare named Alibi... Alibi mare. Lurline B. There we go. I didn't have to wake you up in the middle of the night for that one. Well, Chateauguay won it in 1963 for Darby Dan, beating ridden by Brawley Obaiza, and beat Get Around, who was by Citation, Lemon Twist. Lemon Twist was by Rejected. And Chateauguay was a chestnut horse in 1960 by Swaps out of the stakes-winning mare Banquet Bell. A Polynesian, J.P. Conway, trained him. Won his first start. He didn't win it. He ran second first start as a two-year-old. Didn't run until up in October, middle of October. And 5 days later, he did win, breaking his maiden, going 7/8 of a mile at Belmont Park. On November the 6th, he led going a mile at Aqueduct in the slop, and then finished second, got beat a length and a half. Horse named Royal Ascot beat him. And then on November the 24th, he ran fourth in Pimlico Futurity, got beat by Wright Proud, a son of Olympia. Delta Judge ran second. He was by Traffic Judge, and Master Dennis ran third, and I can't remember who he was by. My apologies. Chateauguay came back as a 3-0 on his first four starts. First in the year was 7/8 of a mile on February the 23rd down at Hialeah. Anyone came up to Keeneland, one going a mile and 16th on April the 10th, led all the way. Then he won the Bluegrass Stakes on April the 25th, 15 days later, by a head from Get Around. And then he went into the Kentucky Derby 9 days later. Field of nine. Candy Stripes was a favorite. Went off at 9-1. Chattagay went off at 9-1. He took him back. But Basil rode him, took him back after 6 furlongs. Then took him to the outside, and it took the lead from Never Bend in the upper stretch and won by a length and a quarter from Never Bend, who was a neck in front of Candy Spots. Candy Spots, son of Nick Ramonte, who raced for Rex Ellsworth, and ridden by Shoemaker. He might have been the best horse that day, to be the truth of it. He was forced to check 3 times during the running of the race. He got checked in the first turn when he ran up on the heels of No Robbery, another son of Swaps, incidentally. Then he checked again nearing the 3/8 pole. He was moving up on the inside. And then he was blocked again at the quarter pole, still on the inside, moved to the outside and finished strong. And he came back to win the Preakness, incidentally, the Candy Spots did, by 3.5 over Chattagay. But then he met him in the Belmont Stakes, and Chattagay won that. As I said, Chattagay went into the Preakness next, ran second, Never Bend, ran third. Then he came back into Belmont, won by 2.5 lengths over Candy Spots with Choker. Choker ran third. Choker was by Double J, and he won a couple of stakes out of Keeneland. I know he won the Phoenix, and he won the Fayette Stakes. Next start for Chattagay was in the Dwyer on July the 13th. He ran third to Outing Class, son of Nashville, who was racing for Green Tree, I'm pretty sure. He got beat a length and a half that day, ran third. And trying to think, Tentacle was third, but I can't remember who he was by. August the 17th, he went into Travers, ran third again, got beat by Crewman. Crewman was by 8:30. Went to stud over, he waits for George Widener, and went to stud over at Spencery Farm. And Hot Dust, a Jet Action, ran third. On the 5th of September, Chattagay won an overnight, going 7/8 a mile, and 9 days later, he won the Jerome, going a mile, beating Accordant, who was by Ace Admiral, an Outing Class. 3 weeks after that, ran fourth in the Lawrence Realization, got to be 10 lengths by a horse named Dean Carl. I can't remember who he was by. My memory was just shot. B Major was third. He was by Summertan. Last start is a 3-year-old. He ran fourth in the Yankee at Suffolk Downs, won by Never Bend. He made 3 starts at 4. He won an allowance race at Saratoga, ran second to Bonjour, who was by Prince Caleb, in the Rose Bend. Then he ran out of the money in the Carter Handicap, won by Ahoy, a well-named son of Sailor. 5 starts as a 5-year-old Chattagay did. Won his first start of the year, going 7/8 at Hialeah. Then he was out of the money in the Royal Plum, the Seminole, and the Widener. Career-wise, he ran 24 times, 11 wins, 4 seconds, and 2/3, and a little over $360,000. Went to stud at Derby Dan, and ended up in Japan. Sired 23 stakes winners. Best thing he sired was True Knight, who was a real good colt. He won the Suburban and the Haskell and the John B. Campbell in the Queens County, Seminole. Pardon?
True Knight, can he come back and stand here?
True Knight was, I don't know where he went to stud. I can't remember, to tell you the truth. Anyway, won a Romer in the Chesapeake, True Knight did. I'm not sure that he went to stud around here. I don't believe he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was, Chattagay, incident, was the broodmare sire of Henbit, who won the English Derby, was a champion 3-year-old, and a fair Selena, who won the English Oaks. So he was a broodmare sire of English Derby winner and an English Oaks winner. Now, his full sister was Primonetta, and as I said, they're running a stakes race in his name, in her name, up at in Maryland today, Pimlico. I think I said Laurel earlier, but they're running at Pimlico now. And she was, of course, she was 2 years older than Chattagay, and she won 17 of her 25 starts, and won 9 straight, 2 and 3, before she got beat. And she got beat in the Monmouth Oaks first time by My Portrait, who was an Olympia filly. She won the Marguerite as a two-year-old Pimlico. And some of her other wins were in the Alabama. She won the Spinster in 1962 right out here at Keeneland, beating Royal Patrice, Firm Policy. She won the Molly Pitcher. She won the Regret and the Delaware Oaks and Miss Woodford Stakes. She won the Prioress. And in her last start, she won the Falls City Handicap, beating Old Hat and Fortunate Isle. So she was a great race. She was a champion handicap mare. Also, of course, Chateauguay was a champion three-year-old of his year. So Banquet Bell did real good for those folks over at Darby Dan. Well, let's see. Hot Summer winner last Saturday on the $150,000 Grade 3 Comley in New York is the 51st stakes winner by Malibu Moon. Then on the following Thursday, just day 4 years today, Rodman by Malibu Moon won the Irish Tower Stakes at Aqueduct. That was the scene of his victory in the Grade 3 Queens County Handicap last December. Now, ranked among number three on the North American sire list last year, Malibu Moon, in addition to sighing runners, has some real running relatives. One of them is Temple City, who's standing his first season at stud this year. Temple City is out of the Danzig Mare curriculum, and she's a half-sister to Malibu Moon. Out, of course, the Group 1 stakes winner Macumba, my Mr. Prospector. And Temple City is sired by Dynaformer, who is ranked among the top 20 sires 11 times. Malibu Moon, Danzig, Mr. Prospector, Dynaformer. Now, that, my friends, is a sire pedigree. Temple City won his first career start by 6 1/4 lengths, getting 6.5 furlongs, 115-1. Sprinted a mile in 134, set a new track record when he won the Grade 3 Cougar, the second handicap, was second by head in Grade 1 stakes, by head in Grade 2 stakes, beating less than a length in yet another Grade 2 stakes. So Temple City is a graded stakes winner in Grade 1 place with a great sire pedigree, and he's standing his first season at stud for $5,000. Live foal, Spendthrift Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Feld or Ned Toffey. See the website at SebSpendthriftFarm.com. All righty, we can take a look at another one or two of these Bluegrass Stakes winners. If anything rings a bell here. Lord Boswell, 1946. Of course, that was a Salts year. And to win the Derby, now Lord Boswell ran fourth in the Derby. Lord Boswell was fourth. That was Main Chance, and he won that far. She ran a three-horse entry in the Derby that year, and they ran fourth, fifth, and ninth. That would have been Lord Boswell, Knockdown, and Perfect Barum. And Eddie O'Carroll rode Lord Boswell. Running second was Pellicle. It was by Sir Damien, and if I'm not mistaken, Pellicle raced for Mr. Hal Price Heatley. I'm pretty sure that's right, but I'm not sure of that. You know, I saw a picture of, I'm trying to think where I saw this picture. It was a picture of Alice Chandler, of course, Alice Healy Chandler.
It's a new Keeneland magazine.
Yeah, and they had a picture in there with this little jockey standing there, and they've identified him as Jimmy Stout, and I think it was Georgia South. But Georgia South was a little pudgy guy.
Yeah.
And that sure looked like him to me. Huh. I'm going to have him check that picture out at the Keeneland Library. I think they might have disadvantaged, you know. Well, what the hell do I know? Anyway, the next year, Faultless won the Bluegrass and ended up third in the Derby. Won it for Calumet. He ran third, of course, to Jet Pilot and Phalanx. Doug Todson rode him. Doug rode him in the Derby also, I'm pretty sure. Ben Jones trained him. Just got beat. Three-horse photo, and Main Chance won it with Jet Pilot that year, who was, of course, bred by Mr. Arthur Hancock Sr. Risk-O-Later was second. John's Pride ran third. Cold Town won it, and I saw Cold Town win that thing 1948, and I thought he's going to win the Derby, and he would have if it hadn't been for Citation.
That happens.
That happens, yeah. Well, it happened a whole lot. The horses ran against Citation. He beat Billings, big flashy son of Mahmood, and Shy Guy ran third, and he was by Chaladon out of Tootsie Cake by High Time. And he was a mean little son of a gun. I remember him real well. But he was dead game. And he won some stakes out of Keeneland a little bit later on. And Steve Brooks rode Shy Guy. He wasn't a very big horse, maybe not even medium size. I bet he didn't stand but about 15-2. But, boy, he was some kind of a gain runner. And anyway, that was Cold Towns and Billings and Shy Guys. That was 1948. Let's see. C.V. Whitney won it in 1950 with Mr. Trouble, who was by Mahmood. All Capital by Mahmood ran second. So the Mahmoods ran 1-2. All Capital ended up at stud over at Crown Crest Farm, which is now Dixiana. And let's see. Trying to think where Mr. Trouble went. I think he might have been. I think maybe Mr. Healy got him to went to stay in there. But Alice, you can correct me. I've been corrected many, many times, believe me. Son of Mahmood won it again in 1952. That would be Sam Wilson's Gushing Oil. And he beat Cole Command, who was by War Admiral and Smokescreen. Correspondent by Caleb won it in 1953, beating Straight Face, son of Count Fleece. He was a gilding that raced for Green Tree Farm. Correspondent raced for Mrs. Gordon Gulbertson. Woodvale Farm won it in 1954 with Goyama, who was by Goya II, an imported stallion, went stud down at Almahurst Farm. He beat Hossie Yampa, who was by Alibi and Admiral Porter. I better wrap this up. I've just got the signal. I've got 1 minute to go. And let's see, since we talked last time, the winners out of here are saddle. Let's see who's saddle winners. Wayne Mackey had one at Keeneland. Amalio Garcia, Bobby Sturgeon, Mark Hubley, and Ted Lucas, all saddle winners down at Mountaineer. And we have had 14 winners so far this month from the Thoroughbred Center. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Mary Jane, thank you. You did a wonderful job down in the studio. And Ressie, as always, Ressie Duke, right here in this clocker stand with us. And we'll talk to you next week.